The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Pete and Steve and Paddy. Still, on, is he on bail yet? Has he got bail? He hasn't, has he?
I think there was a problem with the bail money.
I thought Pete was supposed to be sending the solicitor.
No, I thought Steve was selling some of his shares to pay for the bail.
But, oh, there's confusion. Right. There's confusion here. Oh, so that's what's going on. Okay, that's why Paddy's still locked up. He's not on the podcast. But hopefully we'll get that sorted next week. We'll get him bail. We'll get him out, and he'll be on the podcast as a free man. I'm free. So what? I'm four. That's a good joke. That, remember that?
No.
No. Well, it's a bloke come out of prison, and he walked around the corner. Right. And he said, "I'm free." And this little boy walked around and said, "So what? I'm four."
We kind of got the joke before you.
Yeah. So listen,
explain it again.
Shoeshine boy's panicking this week, isn't he? Hey, old cocky shoeshine boy. That's it. See, the shoeshine boy's probably selling out now. This is why it's good. Listen now, last night, right, on the Share Pickers Investment Club, by the way, membership's still open. It's a pre-launch. It's a cheap deal at the moment. But last night, there's a lot of, it's good advice in our chat group there. There's lots of people trying to help each other there, which is, you know, what it's set up for, to get people starting to invest. And Rich is annoying, isn't he? Richard in our group, our WhatsApp group. I know Richard from Capital. I work with him. And how long has he been in our WhatsApp group now? He joined because he wanted to invest, right? How long has he been in our WhatsApp group?
A year and a half, 2 years, maybe. Yeah.
He hasn't made one bloody investment. And I said, and he hardly ever talks in there. I said, right, unless you make an investment, Rich, buy a share in something, I'm going to evict you from the group. And Pete said, "Ooh, the Prosecco's talking." It was a little bit. But I thought, no, come on, Rich. Come on. Do you know what? He's missed out on an excellent rally in the markets, hasn't he? Yeah. And now we're back into a sell-off again. Is it literally...
Rich by name, not by nature.
Yeah, he could have been in some of these companies like, you know, Gfinity, Escape Hunt, the lows, and he could have been doing very well. And he's just sitting on his laurels, whatever his laurels are. I'm sure his laurels are.
Has he got any laurels?
Yeah, but they're sitting on whatever he's sitting on. But so in the Share Pickers Investment Club last night, of course, the markets have sold off, and it's always a bit stressful. I said, it's been a tough week in the markets, and every time there's a tough week, the financial channels are full of doom and gloom. It's almost they chase the narrative, don't they? They like a bit of sensationalism, CNBC, and even on social media, people say, oh, it's going, and all the doom mongers come out, and the bears come out, and they'll have you believe, right, the market is going to implode, suck all your cash, stocks, and anything you hold into a gaping hole it will leave behind, the big sell-off, right? But if you look back on it, I've been investing there since the late 90s, before the dot-com bubble, and that popped. Okay, yeah. And went through, and I've gone through about 10% corrections, loads of 5% sort of drawdowns, market drawdowns, 3 bear market recessions, including the great financial crash, where the banks themselves, the very situation, the very sort of institutions that pump the money around the system, the blood of the body, pretty much, they were in trouble. They were going through. We've also, all of us, lived through the fastest sell-off ever during this pandemic dash for cash in March last year. And yet, do you know what? My portfolio is still higher than it was at the start. And there's two things that amazes me about the markets. First of all, how worried a sell-off can be, and how fast we forget about those worries when the market rallies. And the market always rallies. It always rallies out. You know, it's gone through world wars. It survived so much. And, oh, yes, but the next big worry. Ooh. And that's part of human psyche, isn't it? You know, flight and fear, survival, survive. You need that. It's that flight, that worry, that fear makes you overreact, makes the markets overreact. And that greed makes the markets overreact. The markets always oversell. They always overbuy. Like normally, if you look at the best performing days of the stock market, are generally very close to the best, the worst performing days. What are you doing, Steve? Are you packing for holidays?
Steve, he's getting ready. Lockdown's over soon.
I'm sorry, I just packed my camera in a bag.
Well, thanks, Steve. I'm giving what I think was an inspirational speech to people there. Yeah. Steve just packing his camera. I'm just packing, sorry. You carry on. You carry on with the inspirational speech there, trying to help you. I'll just pack up a camera.
I can listen and pack at the same time.
Well, keep it quiet then. Just put yourself on mute, you maniac.
Sorry, I thought I was, to be honest. I was clearly didn't press the button properly.
Anyway, I said that in the group last night. I said, it's human nature. We get scared and worried about the unknown. But you know what? And if you look back at it, I got a spreadsheet somewhere. I copied it. But the worst days literally within a couple of days, accompanied by the best days. The bounces are as good. And if you try and that's why trading is hard, because if you jump out on those big down days, you probably miss a big up day. And that's why over time, time in the market is better than trying to time the market, because you can't time those big whiplash rebounds. And like I said, even now, the US markets were bouncing last night. They're up like almost close to 2%, the big indices. So they are bouncing. And I said that last night in the ShareFix investment chat group. And someone came back, MJ, said, joining this group was the best thing I've ever done. Just to hear those calming words helped stop you making errors. Thank you, Justin. I went, thanks, fella. And they said, except I'm a lady. It's MJ. I thought, okay, sorry about that. Sorry, I didn't assume
you think it was Michael Jackson.
No, I thought it was a Michelle Jackson, obviously. And then they said, a Michael Jackson.
Beautiful lady.
Yeah, except yeah. You're joined by a beautiful lady. A Channel 4 racing guy, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's very good, Derek. Anyway, right. What I was going to say was, I know what you're saying in terms of panic, but some of it perhaps isn't panic. It's people trying to be clever and trade in and out of this, like trying to time the market and kind of getting out now. It's going to be a drop, and then I'm going to be buying back in and all of that. And I just think, well, I don't know. That's my theory. There's some of that must be going on. But it's so difficult to do, isn't it, in terms of
actually
time.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, do you know what? It's like when I first sort of had a blog, I did look at that phrase, time in the market beats timing the market, where it came from. And then one of the big investment houses did a graphic of saying, even if you'd missed the best five best days, in the last five years, your investment account, if you take the account compounding, would have missed out massively. So it's very hard to try and time those things. And it's a fool's economy if you try to jump in and out all the time, because you rack up dealing costs, but also you miss those big updates. You can't do that. You can't time on that kind of. All you know is you go with a longer term trend. That's the strongest trend of all. The market tends to go up. Well, it does go up. We know that.
Yeah.
And so the ratio is pretty much 2 years. Of every three, so one in 3 years goes down pretty much, not like that, in that sort of order. But so it's 2-1, odds in your favour, the market's going up. So stay invested. If you're a good company, don't sell them just because the market's selling off, because part and parcel of the market, like I said, rebounds happen very quickly. And how many times have we sat here? We've gone through some, do you know what? In fact, lads, 6 years, last week, I think it was, or the 21st, 6 years we've been doing this podcast. On the 21st of February was the six-year mark. So we're 6 years into this, and we've seen some, brutal sell-offs. I remember one of the start of the year was like the worst ever start of the year. We've had the March dash for cash. And like, you've got more, your portfolio is valued more now than it was when you started. So that's part and parcel, and it happens. We do have worries when it happens. But like I said, you know what? We've got to look through that and think 6-12 months down the line, it'll be better, I think,
I was just saying, around this time, it's not uncommon, around March time, just kind of have this kind of dip, and then the April ISA thing kicks in, and that kind of normally is a little bit of a flip for the whole market, and kind of we see a little rise then, don't we? Because more money comes into the market. So
yes. In fact, there's a good reminder. ISA, go on, Steve. Go on, say it.
Well, no, as I was saying, I've taken advantage of this week. Well, in fact, on Friday, so because I know I was mentioning in our WhatsApp group, but I bought a little bit more liquor because it's something I've always wanted to get a bit more into, and it kind of rallied so far ahead. So it's taken me about 6 years to get to used to the whole when it drops down by more. But I think I've nailed it.
Until it drops another 20%.
Yes,
week.
Yeah.
And you're like,
No. That's exactly when you're right, though, Steve. This is what's called a market sell-off. That means it's not specific. And someone said this in the ShareFix investment group. Said I realise this is a market pullback generally, or tech stocks, growth stocks. It's not specific. That's very you've got to make that distinction. If it's your company on its own that's pulling back, there's something wrong maybe, or they've released something. Don't go buying the dip then. I've seen people do that lots of times. They've had a bad set of results come out, and it looks like the company's not doing what they said. The story is changing, but some people are deluded. They fall in love with the stock and they buy more. No, this is just a temporary blip. No, don't do that. And it's also in one of those lessons about the hype hope potential rally. Getting in early, if you don't be deluded and start thinking it's the next big thing, buy the hype, all that, and suck it in, and then drops off, because it takes years then to get back to that value play and build up value if they ever do that. Don't fall in love with the stock, because if it's specific to your stock, is dropping. Nothing else is dropping. Don't buy the dip, maybe, you know. But a market, you know, pullback at this, a general market pullback, it's time to get involved and top up if you haven't got your exposure. Like I said, it always happens. You know, several times a year you'll have these kind of pullbacks. You'll have a correction once every 16 months, they say, which is a bit bigger. But you'll have these things happen. And if you look at what we've gone through, I was watching this Trump documentary yesterday about, you know, the when they started putting tariffs on China and the market had a wobble. And you think, I've forgotten about that, you know, because the market did have a wobble then. And you forget about the wobbles. And you just, and it will rally. Like I said, we'll forget about this. This little pullback here, we'll completely forget about. And I think we sort of need it anyway to for the reopening rally. I think that's going to happen. You know, I think we're going to have a nice rally towards the reopening. Everyone's getting bullish now. We're starting lockdown. Kids are back to school next week. You know, this is we are the light. We are at the end of the tunnel now. We're coming out of it. Within last, you know, this is like the end of, I'd say, as an analogy, I'd say we're probably, if the tunnel's about a mile long, I'd say we're in the last 100 yards of the tunnel here, you know?
Ooh,
does that stack up chronologically? From a tunnel's 12 miles. Let's say 12.
No, not a mile, because 100 metres is not 1/12 of a mile.
Okay. Let's say, how long has it been with us? How long? March last year, so March, 12 months, say.
150 metres left, maybe.
Yeah, so to say the tunnel's 12 miles, we're getting bogged down in the analogy here, but say the tunnel is 12 miles long, we're in the last mile of it now.
But has the train been going, I'm assuming we're in a train, has the train been going at a consistent speed through that tunnel?
Yeah, and where are you sitting in the train?
Ah, oh, good point. I'm in the buffet car.
Okay, I'm a driver.
You are actually, You're hanging off the front actually.
I'm telling people behind. Listen, honestly, I can see the light. I can see it. And there's people in the buffet car, stuff in their faces. Really? I've been sitting in this train now for 12 months. You've been sitting that a long. I cannot see it.
Yeah. And I'm stuck in the toilet with those revolving doors.
Staring into the middle distance.
Go on.
A couple of things I was going to say. If you had exposure to oil and gas, your portfolio won't have had such a hit this week.
Have you got exposure to oil and gas?
It just so happens I have. Yes, Justin.
Funny we mention it.
Yeah. What have you got?
I'm just saying, but it's an example of having a diversified portfolio, isn't it? Because if you look at your portfolio as one number, you know, it's having that diversification does help to kind of shield you now and again. So, Predator Oil and Gas and United Oil and Gas.
You got Predator? You still hold Predator?
I've got a free float, a free carry of those. Made some good money on that 2-3 years ago, didn't we? And I've just held a small holding since then.
You got a little deadhead.
For you, Justin.
What?
You still? That should be a catchphrase for you. You still hold?
Yeah.
I know, but I can't believe you still hold that.
No, yeah, I've only got 12 stocks, but that's one of my stocks. Yeah.
Did you see my video on, in fact, in the Sharepickers Investment Club, exclusive, so join up if you want. But
What is this club you refer to?
Basically, go to sharepickers.com, you can join up. It's 99 quid for a pre-launch. I do a video on diversification, and I give reasons why. If you own more than 10 stocks, you may as well buy a fund. You may as well, honestly. If you want real reward, as Buffett says, you know, diversification prevents risk, but also concentration is the way to make reward. Basically, you need to concentrate and have conviction, and of course, there's ways you can do that. People say, "Oh, no, that's right," because I see people all the time saying, "Oh, you know, old-fashioned investors on Twitter." You've got to have about 35, 40, 50 stocks. Yes, now if you have that many, you're not earning any money whatsoever. And I see their portfolios tends not to rise that much. And if you want to make money, though, if you want to just beat the banks, their saving accounts, and do regularly, you know, okay, and may you hold that many stocks, but it's inefficient. You're not going to make money. You're not going to build a lot of wealth like that. Really not. And like I said, there's a microcap fund that I talk about in that video. You can get 21% a year, and they've done that since 2007. So they're diversified against 80-odd stocks. So you can, why didn't you say, you want 20%, which these guys, on some of these guys on Twitter, I'm not going to mention any names, probably not doing 20% a year. They're doing less than that. Why have the hassle of trying to manage 30-odd stocks and you're underperforming a fund that is one buy and you're instantly diversified?
Diversified.
Yeah. So Richie, we told Richard, he said, I'm going to investing, right? And I said, it's a good time now because the market's having a bit of a sell-off. There's the ISA, like you say now. If anyone hasn't got that, stocks and shares ISA. If you're an investor and you haven't got one of those, what are you doing? You need, honestly, you are liable for capital gains tax on stocks you sell and make a profit on. If you make more than 12 grand a year on stocks, you are liable for capital gains tax, unless you set up a stocks and shares ISA account, which is the same kind of thing, exactly the same things, same amount of shares you can trade in there. You can put 20 grand per year into it. Whatever you earn from that 20 grand per year is tax-free. So if you put 20 grand in and put in one stock and it does an oversight, you know, there's 60 times that, that's not taxable, you know, so it's
fine. I really thought that old Sunak might attack the ISA a little bit in his budget, you know, we might see a little bit of a drop in the contributions you could make or tax-free allowance or whatever.
I bloody hope they don't, because they tax everything else. I remember, I think I worked with Johnny Vaughan, I think, and he said once, I always remember sticking in my head, someone said to him, if the government were called the Mafia, people wouldn't put up with it, because the Mafia will tax you, but the government tax you every turn. So if you take what you do, so the money you've got to work, okay, and they tax you on the income tax, that's fine. So you buy a car and then you put petrol in it, it tax you on the tax as well. They put car tax on the car as well, not on the fuel, everything you buy. So you buy goods, VAT is on that. At every turn, they will tax you. So it's unbelievable. So you could have some area in life where you can put some wealth away or build some wealth for yourself without the tax man getting his hands on it, surely, you know? It's like, you name anything that isn't taxed these days. Everything is. At every turn, you're taxed. Yeah. Capitalists, you sell your house. So you know, the money you earn is taxed anyway. You buy a house and sell a house, and you may buy another one, actually, and I can make some money here, and you sell that, then the capital gains tax will have you, or you can't make too much money on it because, you know, you give that tax man. Every turn, everything you do, everything is taxed. So I say there's got to be some safe haven away from the tax man, and I hope they never touch it because, it encourages people to invest. I think investing is very good. It helps the economy. People invest in businesses, you know.
Can I ask another question about the whole situation we're now in, a sell-off? Now, traditionally, and Steve obviously has a few quid lying down the back of the sofa and he's put into Ilika this week. You know, that's good. I have been more fully invested. So until April, when I will put some more money into my ISA, I don't have a huge amount of free cash because I have kind of gone for it a bit like yourself, I think, Justin, because last time we spoke.
I don't have any free cash.
So you aren't able to take advantage of these drop opportunities right now?
No, you can, again, one of the three reasons why you should sell is reallocation of capital. Can you allocate your capital a bit elsewhere? Yeah. And you have to weigh that up. It's worth weighing that up. You're thinking, okay, I'm holding this stock here. In fact, I was talking about diversification. Some of the guys in the club, they have a lot of stocks. And they're saying, okay, how do I start getting rid of some of these stocks then? And I said, you know, allocation of capital. First of all, I would look at market cap. We know, I've gone through this, best performers are small caps. So if you've got really big companies, you know, they're not going to double. You know, I mean, I'm talking about FTSE 100s or BT or stuff like that. In fact, Steve's got BT. He's done well this week, Steve, isn't it, BT?
Yeah. BT and oil and gas have been my two savers this week.
Steve, hang in there, buddy.
Everything's cyclical, isn't it? Do you know what? Going back to this, but with oil and gas, that's one of the reasons why the sell-off has happened, you see, because of the worry about inflation, you know, the reopening inflation, and the markets don't like that. Because if inflation happens, for example, let's say you get inflation at 2%, then the bond market had a bit of a rout because if you're holding a bond, a 10-year bond that's paying you less than 1% and inflation is 2%, then you're still losing 1% pretty much in real terms. You know what I mean? So why hold that bond? So there's a sell-off in the bond. If inflation, and then people said, if it's going to be inflation, maybe they'll have to rise interest rates as well because to calm it down, you know, so stop the spending. Even though Powell, the Fed head, said he wouldn't do that. When interest rates go up, that's bad for the economy because the people have debt and that payment goes up, the interest payment goes up, costs more, and people think, I don't know, I can get a couple of percent in a savings account. So rather than be risky and put in the stock market, I'll just put in the savings account. So there's all kind of worries with inflation. Going back to that, reallocation of capital. Yeah, that's all you have to do is look at, okay, and thinking on broad terms, think, okay, if I got my money in BT now, for example, Steve, if you're even Stevens, you can think, should I stay with that? Because I'm going to get a dividend of, say, 3 or 4%. Maybe I get some capital upside as well, the share price. Maybe on the rebounds, maybe 5, 10%. Let's say 5%, being conservative. 5% plus is 8%, and I get on that this year, probably. Now, can I get better than 8% elsewhere in a small cap stock? It's hard to say, isn't it? But if you buy right and do your research and it's got cash and it's got news coming up, then you should be able to do a lot better than 8% in a small cap stock. So when you're looking at, you know, selling some stocks, look at it like that. Look in percentage terms and try and be conservative. So, okay, can I beat that percentage return? Let's say BT, for example. Let's say you did 10% off it this year. Can you get better than 10% elsewhere? You know, that's the way to look at it, really. And cold light of day, you have to just, rather than just do, oh, jump out of one, jump in another, just look at it like that, thinking, okay, can I, percentage return, am I likely to get better on this? And also look at the risk as well. I could also lose a bit more than small cap stocks. So you have to buy right, you know, it's just about discipline. It's always like, you know, sometimes automating everything you can, you know, in the cold light of day, write it all down, look at it, think about it, and then stick with a plan. Rather than just jumping in and out when the market, you know, dictates. Don't let the market dictate to you. You tell the market what to do. Let prices come to you, because they will come to you. Like I said with Ilika, it's happened today. Ilika, I mean, one of those companies, Ilika, the reason why I sold off is because long-dated assets, you know, they're called pretty much stocks that are going to be generating profits in the future, not yet, are hit. Like, you know, Teslas and all that. My dog's barking outside because my wife, right, is painting, she's been painting 30 big fences this week. She's been obsessed with it. Literally, from dusk till dawn. It's driving me insane. Because she's not... It's
taking her life. Quiet, isn't it?
Yeah, but now we've had to hire this guy in from across the road to help out, because the back garden is quite long and she's starting... But she's beaten
And her husband is useless.
Yeah, no, I'm useless, yeah. And hired this guy to help us, but she's beaten him. She started like 2 hours after him yesterday. She's done two more fence panels than him. And he's 21. Like, he's.
So why is it annoying then?
Well, we are starving, Steve. The house, we're not eating. She's not cleaning our clothes. We are literally, there's nothing in the cupboards. She's literally out there from dusk till dawn painting these fences.
I bet she's still hoovering, though.
I had an argument with her right in the front garden last week, and we just had this Ringo fitted. This, you know, captures, you know, these security cameras. And there's a captures on video. She sent it to me on the next morning.
I wanted to see that.
Yeah, I said, why are you obsessed with this? You're obsessed with the fences. What is wrong with you? She said, I'm going to carry on now. I'm going to carry on. I do more. And I do next doors as well, she said. And we're in the garden doing this in the garden. And it was caught on our camera.
Well done, Megan. Well, if only there was somebody else who could do some, you know, cooking and cleaning and help out with the household stuff.
No, the thing is, that's why I'm hating it. That's why I'm hating it, because I'm doing that. You know, so I hate that. And I have to, but I do that. I do all that stuff with the kids anyway. But, you know, on my own is hard work. But
I don't understand why you're annoyed at her doing so.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not now. I've gone past it. But literally, because she came in.
I still can't understand why you were.
She came in and she couldn't. I had to help her in the bath, rub herself on her back. And I said, you literally turn yourself into a cripple. It's literally fence painting that's become the new priority for her in life. Nothing else, you know.
I don't see the problem. I think that's
I've made her food. I've made Monty food. She's been homeschooled. I've made the kids' tea. I've made her tea. I've got a. Run the bath for her, rub stuff on her back. Why don't you just limit yourself to a couple? That's humans, isn't it? We are extremely human. Limit yourself to a couple of panels or four panels a day, rather than trying to do 100 in a day or something ridiculous, you know? So anyway.
You need to listen back to this, Justin.
So you sound exactly, you're pretty much describing yourself there.
I know, yeah. No, I get obsessed with that, but it's funny. You know, I'm now proud of her because she's done so much. It's unbelievable how much she's done. It's like, honestly, like I said, the guy we've hired to help, she's beating him hands down. And she's out there now. It's so cold. It's freezing out there. She's got two gas heaters either side of her. She's wearing two sets of gloves and a hat. And she comes in of an evening, creosoted face.
I'd admire that.
Fair play. I would hire her. She's a good worker. Yeah. But anyway, back to long-dated assets.
You say the guy's called Hands Down. Is he German?
Yeah. Hands Down! Yeah. And literally, Lola, a dog, does not take to him. She's been barking him all day. He's been painting the fences. She's going, bang, 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 barking at him. Calm down, Lola. Anyway.
Anyway, how do we get onto that? Right. Anyway,
so when you get to companies, like, for example, with what's called long-dated assets, that means companies that are going to be generating profits in the future. That's why a lot of tech companies, high-flying tech companies, are seemingly overvalued, have sold off this week. That's why Ilika sold off and TrackWise has sold off a little bit. In fact, TrackWise... I really like TrackWise, but, you know, compared to Ilika, they're not in the hot space of solid state, but they are in the EV space. And I think they've got that big, you know, EV contract worth about 38 million, and they're only valued at 70 million. So I think if you look at the charts, they're a good support level. But Ilika, again, so Ilika, they'll be generating profits in the future. If the worry is there's inflation and interest rates will go up, of course, and this kind of cash flow model, people looking at profits in the future, will be less in the future, you know? So that's why the stock market is correcting or adjusting for these stocks, because they'll see maybe their profit will not be as much in the future as they thought it was going to be. But there's always worry about the, you know, interest rates going up. It's not going to happen, though. It's like if the Fed had said, we may have a bit of inflation because people are going back to work, all prices will go up because people are using more oil. But this will be a temporary thing because, of course, the economy is not going to be firing on I don't know how many cylinders. What's the standard cylinders? How many cylinders does the car have now? Is it 8 or 6?
Four, six. Your basic cars, four, really. But yeah, a really decent one, a V8 or a V12, Aston Martin, you know.
Okay, well, the economy is not going to be going hell for leather on 8 cylinders, is it, when we get back? I mean, inflation is not going to start straight away. That's why banks have done well, because, of course, interest rates go up, then there's that extra margin they've got on loans they can do well from. But yeah, so it's been a bit of a, you know, a rotation trade. Some of the stocks doing well at oil, because the reopening, of course, people can use more oil, and they've got banks going up and all that stuff. And you've got utilities, safer stocks like BT, of course, they've got cash flow. And they're not based on future earnings. It's all baked in. They'll do well. But it'll come back off. You know, the growth stocks will be back in very soon, in fact, probably next week. So the market constantly corrects because it's a future discounting machine, isn't it? So when they...
But you know, when we went fully invested or fairly fully invested, virtually fully invested, quite recently, and I'm thinking of things like Brand Shield that I got into and things like that. And even then... You should hold some back, shouldn't you, really? Because you should, even though we know it, you know, because it feels like it's on a real upward trajectory, and here we are, it's come back 20%. So, you know, should we just always hold some cash to take advantage of other opportunities?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I don't know.
Listen, in the Shea & Pickers Investment Club, there's a stock in there I haven't talked about publicly. Of course, part of the deal with the investment club is that any stock ideas I have, I'll share it with the club first for a month. And it's been 2 weeks now. And I said to people, don't listen. This is starting to rally a little bit. Don't worry, though. There's a couple of reasons why you shouldn't worry. But one of them is, of course, market pullbacks. It always happens. And it always happens. And so that fear of missing out and chasing the price, you shouldn't do it because there's always other opportunities. The market throws up opportunities all the time. And that's what this is, this sell-off. If you're fully invested, you worry about it. If you're not invested, you think, oh, hang on, this is an opportunity. And it is an opportunity because we'll rally again.
Yeah.
But, so in two weeks I'll share that new stock idea. Unless you're a member, of course. But I think there's lots of potential there in that company. But there's opportunity there as well. There's a bit of a seller in there. Or maybe, I don't know, that stock could be placed. I don't know. But, I'll talk about that. But, Gfinity, did you see the volume on that yesterday?
Yes. Right, mid sort of afternoon, wasn't it? I saw that.
Steve, where are you going today then, Steve? Steve's got to leave very soon. Where are you going?
So why don't you just quickly change subject? Can we talk about Gfinity?
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Secretive.
I say.
Are you going to see Paddy in prison?
No.
Oh, wow.
I might go and check him out, yeah.
Can I just, while talking about Paddy and the investment club, I've noticed a few comments in there about asking where Paddy is. Like, he's quite popular on this. I think, I think more popular than the rest of us.
Well, a few comments. I saw one person.
There was a couple. There was one in the Ask Steve channel, I think someone.
Let's not flatter Paddy.
There was one. My only theory was that Paddy set up a few accounts.
I think that's the case.
He's born in prison, isn't he? So why not?
There we go. Right.
Paddy's actually still typing away. Where's Paddy? I haven't seen Paddy in the podcast.
Best.
He's a good guy, that Paddy guy.
He's the best one on the podcast.
So Gfinity yesterday, really odd. In fact, a guy called Stripe Invest pointed this out to me on Twitter. He said, do you see the volume? So I said, in a choppy sea of red yesterday, Gfinity rose by close to 4%. And look at the volume. It explains the rise, but it doesn't explain the volume. Because Gfinity's average daily volume is about 2.6 million shares. Yesterday, 60 million. Yeah. If you look down at the individual shares there, there were two trades on the 5th of March, 20 at 15.38 and 15.39 at 4.1 pence. The sell, it's right in between. It's hard to say. So these are only indicative, look. So it could be cross trade, trading from exchanges from different platforms or whatever, but they're also another. But the buys were 4.195. The sells were about 4.05. This was 4.1. So right in between, the spread there. And there are 29 million shares, two trades, 29.3 million shares. So that made up, 59 million of that 16 million volume, and the share price went up. So that suggests to me it's either delayed buy in some way, because the fact that if you look through yesterday's trades, most of them are sells, so little sells, yeah. People panicking, selling out, and that big trade comes through, which pushes it up.
But both trades were identical volume, which is a bit weird, isn't it?
I know, but they're 1 minute apart, so they are different trades. And I thought, what is going on there? I did contact John and say, what's going on here? He said, I look into it. But I don't know what's going on there. But that's really odd, because if you work that out, how much is that? If you do 58 million
live
times 0.0041.
Hold on, kids.
That's 2.3 million.
Poundingtons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, that's... I don't know. Is that sort of funds or something, or is something going on, a big trade? So we'll have a TR1 coming out, won't we, because of that?
Yeah. I don't know what's... No, well, I don't know. I don't know if it's across... I don't know if it's actually a buy. You can't buy that amount of stock, surely, just in two trades. So I don't know what it is. I don't think it is a buy, because... But yet the share price went up, and yet everything else, you know, its growth stocks are down.
Yeah. Is there any 88 million shares in issue?
Yeah. So, really odd. But by the way, just Jason Tebb, Jason Tebb is the new CEO of On the Market. He's just DM'd me. He DMs me, but he doesn't follow me. Jason, and I ask him, say, hey, give us a follow, fella. but he said a very warm welcome to another 25 agents to join us this week. Have you looked at his timeline? They did 30 like 2 weeks ago. So delighted to have him on board. Thank you for supporting the agent portal. Momentum is building. We have an ambitious roadmap for growth. That's very good, isn't it? 25 this week. That's good. Steve, where are you going? Where are you filming?
As my friend is doing a little piece for the BBC this morning. She just asked if I could go and help film it. It's only a little 1 minute piece, but so just a little walk in the park and a little bit of filming.
Oh, I see. Who is the lady?
It's one of my friends that does a travel blog.
Oh, I know, yes. That's your friend who wants to get you a girlfriend, isn't it?
Well, I think you concentrate on that one tweet that she maybe mentioned. But yeah,
that's the only tweet she's mentioned me in, but said, can you find Steve a girlfriend? So,
because that's not our ultimate aim. Yeah, that's not our ultimate aim in life, to get me a girlfriend. So
I think it's because to stop him hassling me and film me in the park all the time. It gets really annoying.
Yeah, she,
find him
a
girlfriend, will you?
Steve, I'm out with my boyfriend. Do you mind not filming? I'm just trying my new camera and my new mic. Yeah. Steve bought a new light for his camera for his thing today. And I thought Pete's comment was excellent. It was the size of the sun. It literally fills up his living room. Why didn't you know it was that big, Steve? You unfurled it, you unpacked it. It was bigger than your TV, pretty much, and your TV is a 65-inch. Go on.
The actual light is tiny, so the light is really small. It's like the size of, like, a small box of cereal, but the actual...
Small
like
box
umbrella.
Of cereal? What a good analogy. What type of cereal, Steve?
Cocoa Pops.
Yeah.
No, that's probably too... It's even smaller than that, actually.
Variety packs, like the small box, like that.
A little bit bigger than that. Probably a couple of variety boxes put together. But anyway, the point is, the light was really small, so I knew that was fine. And then I bought the umbrellas, the big diffusers, and they're like, I don't know, about 45-inch diffuser. It's just like, part of it comes packed up, doesn't it?
Is it, yeah. Is there been more demand in lockdown for adult filming?
I don't know. Don't do it.
Nice one, Steve. Yeah, good one. Good one. Good one. By the way, don't mention the Six Nations.
Walk in the park. The opening scene, isn't it?
Yeah. That's it. That's a setup. Just bump into each other on the swings, on the roundabout, or whatever. And hey, what's your name? With funny lip sync going on. I'm Jeff. I'm Janet. Jan and Jeff. That's going to be Jay. Let's go to bed. Cool. They're the most pointless things ever, aren't they? In adult movies, the actual story bit.
Just get to it.
You're not going to get any, you know, Academy writers putting that scripted together. So don't bother with that, yeah? People are not watching it for the story. It'd be a funny hobby, actually, just cutting out all the porn bits and just having a compilation of the stories of all porn films. This is the best. Come and watch this. Do you want to watch some porn? But it's not the porn bit. It's just the story bits.
And the best writing goes to...
I know. Anyway, I was going to say, don't mention the Six Nations. Oh, did you see that last week? Hey, Pete. Ooh, hey. Ooh. Wales, England. Ooh. What happened there?
Unfortunate Pete, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is that on the agenda? Is it on the agenda? Don't mention the Six Nations.
Yeah, it's on the agenda here. The other one is, we'll skip over that. It's not the same. I mean, you know, the campaign for England is well and truly in the bucket there, isn't it?
I don't mind talking about it. I thought the referee had an absolute nightmare, but then...
He had an excellent game, I thought.
Wales then won fair and square. Our discipline was poor, very poor, and, yeah.
But do you know what? It was. I mean, I think Jonathan Davis summed up well, didn't he? When he gave man of the match, he said, I'm not giving it to the referee. I'm going to give it to... That was very clever. He said that twice, I think. But fair play. No, I mean, Ralph helped. But I suppose, you know, again... equally matched sides, weren't they? It wasn't as if England could trouncing Wales at all, was it? I mean, and I think Eddie Jones at the end didn't argue, said, well, listen, if you're a good team, you have to deal with that and you get over it, you know. Right. So, but anyway, there we are. But Wales, surprising, triple crowners, you know, there we are. They're probably going to lose against Italy next week.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they're going to lose. I'm going to bet Italy because I think they've got in this now and just, it's like, everything's Italy's a walkover. But Italy now being trounced now, how many games in a row? They're going to fight real hard now. And Wales are going to take it easiest and think, oh, we'll just walk over these. And they'll find it hard to sort of pick it up again when they're against it. I'm trying to buy a Kings of Leon non-fungible token album.
Right, yeah.
Have you heard about that?
I have, yeah.
Non-fungible tokens. When you get things that are hot and new, you better jump in as quick as you can, as far as investing is concerned. That's the worst thing I ever did, was didn't jump in on Bitcoin when, in fact, Fred was about 2 or 3 years old, and Monty had just been born. I was trying to find out how to buy Bitcoin. It was so complex at the time, and a bit dodgy. The wallets weren't secure, and I didn't understand it. At the time, Bitcoin was about less than $600. I thought, what? I'm not going to buy one Bitcoin, but then I realised you'd have to buy one Bitcoin. That was $600 back then, and recently just hit $56,000. So when you get something very new and very hot, try and get a little bit of a thing. So I'm going to buy the Kings of Leon album as a non-fungible token, because do you see some of the art that's going around, it's being sold for like millions? It's ridiculous at the moment.
I don't understand the valuation, but then I don't understand a lot of valuations, so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. So it's worth doing that. And anything else we need to talk about? Any other stocks worth mentioning? I have mentioned Escape Hint this week. It's a traditional to mention that, of course. But Rich said, what should you invest in? And someone said on the thing, they topped up on Escape Hint. And I said, listen, Escape Hint at the moment is priced for, in fact, I did say 18 sites, but it's not. At the moment, it's priced pretty much for about 17 sites, right? They've got 18 sites, pretty much. Nothing else is priced in. None of the franchises is priced in. None of the digital players is priced in. None of the play-at-home games are priced in. None of the other 33 sites they're going to be opening is priced in. So they're not overvalued whatsoever. They're only 21 million market cap. So, you know, I think there's still huge potential. That's why I haven't de-risked one penny of it. Even though I started buying around about 7.5, 8 pence, I haven't sold a share of Escape Hunt because I still think there's lots of long way to go, you know? Someone asked me about Plarium. Is the FDA priced in? And I said, I don't think it is, because it's been in this trading range now since October. Yeah. And yet we got, in fact, it's what is it, 6, 7 months? October the 5th is the FDA approval. And so 6, 7 months away from that. So I don't think that's priced in. Brand Shields is frustrating because it's just selling off a little bit with the IPO, old legacy sellers. Steve, are you outside in the car?
No, I'm just changing the spark plugs in my car.
Yeah. Just putting stuff in the boot. Anything else? Oh, TV recommendations. Steve, I'm going to beat you to this, Steve. I've watched some of your stuff. There's an old one, Operation Odessa, on Netflix. Worth watching. It's about these guys, drug dealers, in a Russian guy and a Floridian guy and a Cuban.
What's it called?
Operation Odessa. It's phenomenal. They start buying military helicopters to help the Cubans bring, and they're going to buy a Russian sub then to start bringing. It's brilliant.
I saw it advertised. Was that any good then?
Yeah, it's good. It's from 2018 though, but worth watching. Yeah, it's cracking documentary. Honestly, the money they're talking and what they're doing, just scamming and all that stuff. And also a new one out. I bet you haven't. I know you've recommended Steve quite a few recently. 000, which I'm watching. I haven't started. Get back in the devils. We haven't watched that, but out, I think on Sky Atlantic yesterday, the day before, Honor. Have you seen that?
Oh, someone else actually. One of my friends said he was at two episodes in. He said
Do you know what? First one gets a bit strange, but it's the guy from Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston. You know, So you know when you got a big hit like Breaking Bad, the next sort of big thing you do has got to be good because you don't want it to flop because you can't get bigger than Breaking Bad. But Honor is very good. So check it out. He's a judge, but I won't say anything else. But when in the second episode, it gets better, and it already, this is going to be good. So check it out. Honor on Sky Atlantic. Any other recommendation, boys? So mine is Operation Desert, Sky Atlantic, Honor. Operation Desert is on Netflix. Anything else?
I'm very late to the party, but that's because I don't have Sky, and I've just thought I do want to see it. So I've bought Succession. I bought the seasons of Succession to watch.
Yeah, it's good.
So it's very good, isn't it?
Characters and the guy wrote that, wrote Peep Show.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't like Peep Show that much though, but I loved Succession. The characters the what they call them, a family like that, so disenfranchised and sort of
dysfunctional.
Dysfunctional, yeah, hugely. And but spot on. But the young guy reminds me of you somehow. I don't know why. Macaulay Culkin's brother, you know?
Kieran Culkin.
He reminds me of you somehow. I don't know
does
why.
He?
Just
oh,
completely.
Great.
Well, no, because I suppose when you say irrelevant things on WhatsApp, you know, when we're trying to be serious, he just comes in like he says something stupid and irrelevant, you know?
I just remember what that is now, because I started watching it with you, actually, like, a year before lockdown, Daniel's, and when I came home to continue watching it, I realised I didn't have box sets, but I've now got box sets.
Brilliant. I'm really looking forward to that. Ozark and that, the next episodes of the series of those, seasons of those. It's good. By the way, I'm winning this lockdown tournament, didn't I? I said lockdown ends on the 15th of March, and of course, you know, kids are back to school, certain shops are open next week. I won that, didn't I?
No, because me and Paddy both said around June, I think I said middle of June, and realistically, lockdown will completely end around that time, won't it?
No, I'm going to scroll back to what the original podcast.
Yeah, I think, listen back, you're
fine. I just said the start of lockdown ending, and that was...
No, it wasn't. It was like you were saying that it would be completely free and everything would be back to normal.
I got that. Nailed it again.
You lost myself. I think I won. Paddy second, Steve third. So you're fourth. So you're not even on the podium.
So the Welsh should beat the English in rugby, and I've also won that. Cracking, guys. We got to let Steve go. He's got to film people in the park doing a dodgy setup scene. So for the love film, and Steve's still single. So is Pete actually. So if you want to, if you are a lady like MJ in our chat group on Shane Investment Club.
Lady.
Then maybe you're single too. Then maybe you want to hook up with Steve and Pete.
You should start a channel in your.
Do you know what? That's it. See, investing dating because you've got something in common straight away, guys. You talk about stocks. That's perfect.
Beautiful.
Excellent. Okay. Right, thanks, guys. Speak to you next week.
Bye bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.